Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about rotoballer.com. Win big in 2022 with rotoballer.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use Rotoballer's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value plays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. Back everybody to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 15. Gonna talk about some MLB trade deadline predictions, possibly what to do when moves happen. As we've had two trades already, many more to come after this show and once you're listening to it and whatnot. You can find myself on Twitter at BDentric and my co-host is always on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, man?
Doing great, feeling refreshed. Got a haircut this week for the show. Got for the YouTube viewers, the YouTube population of our listeners, or the live stream, I guess, watchers. Got the props in the background updated. Hung some pictures. I'm refreshed. I feel like a new man this week.
Beautiful. That is great to hear. Hair looks great. And we even have a hair question for you later. So that's beautiful.
That's definitely not for me.
I
don't know if it was meant for me or you, but I'm going to take a guess.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and a very sturdy limb, that it's for you. Good times had by all. But we have some fun stuff. I mentioned we have two trades already that's gone down. A lot more rumors to go. Like everyone already saying their goodbyes in their final home games. So, like, hey, Mancini went out with a bang. Did you see that today? Off Josh Lowe's face?
Off the face. And ruled a home run.
How is that a home run? I could have didn't hit the glove. Like, that's the most.
I mean, usually the rule is if they don't touch it, the fielder does, which is crazy to begin with, but that's a whole other thing. But it definitely hit.
Clearly touched him. Got him
in the face.
You look like a soccer player when it was all said and done.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain too much about it. That was a cool moment for Mancini. Yeah. And then like they had the last weekend, or I guess Sunday, was the Wilson Contreras send-off. It is a little awkward. They're doing these like send-offs before they actually get traded. Like, what happens if Wilson Contreras just shows back up as a Cub next week? I doubt it. But
I doubt it, but it'd be one of those. Well, nothing would surprise you these days. So, like Xander Bogaerts earlier on Thursday was rumored to be getting shopped around. And then after the game today in the locker room, I was literally reading like 10 minutes ago, he was told by the team that he's not getting traded. And he told reporters that. So, like, who knows what's going on? Fun times. The rumor mill.
We've got Heyman tweeting Otani rumors while Otani's pitching.
And just don't follow Nightingale. Remember that, everybody. Just don't follow Nightingale. That was a long time during the lockout. So don't do
bringing back memories of that. Actually, there were tweets this last week about the international draft, which kind of brought those memories back too, with MLB and PA doing all that fun stuff. I don't know. Let's not talk about that. That was rough times.
Well, why don't I give you the floor? Because we have some fun stuff coming up. And if as we record, it's the 28th. Most of you'll be listening on the 29th. So you have like 2 days to make this happen and get the discount. So why don't you plug away one of the best events of the year?
Yes, for sure. First Pitch Arizona, November 3rd through 6th. We've already got a pretty brisk sign-up page, which is awesome, especially a few first-timers, definitely, or more than a few first-timers. And we like to take care of those folks. You were a first-timer last year, Bubba, so you can attest to that. But the early bird registration deadline expires at the end of July, so end of July 31st, I guess overnight, into the 1st. it's your, I guess, chance to get the lowest rate possible for registration. And registration includes the 3 days, game tickets, a baseball forecaster, all our books that we do in the offseason at HQ. So really, like, if any listeners out there, if anyone has questions on the fence, whatever, feel free to hit me up as a veteran of FPAS, hit up Bubba as a newbie, as a rookie. Really is just an amazing weekend. We were talking about it before, but probably hitting up some golf right before the event kicks off that Thursday, November 3rd. So any listeners who play golf and are interested in going to First Pitch Arizona, let me know. We will get you set up. And just any other questions or whatever. And again, if you're a listener, want to hang out, drink on me, let's do it. Let's have some fun and just hang out and talk baseball for a few days in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona.
And Ryan's not kidding. Like, I think Toby and I recapped it because it was my first time on our pod way back in October last year. And I mentioned to people that it's not just for fantasy baseball fans. It's for baseball fans. It's like a great baseball weekend. Obviously, you have the fantasy twist to it, which is awesome. You get to meet amazing people. So I highly recommend it if you can pull it off. It is a commitment. I get it. But it's a well worth it commitment. It's awesome. And Ryan's not kidding because I talked to Ryan many times. I've had him on my show many times before. But we met up at one of the games. We each got each other a couple beers. Had a great time. Like, it's a good week. And play some poker at night. You make a lot of friends that I still talk to this day since meeting there. So it's a great time, and I highly, highly recommend it. I've seen some of the newbies, and we're not trying to be rude by calling them newbies, but they are newbies. They've already tweeted out they signed up, and they're looking forward to go. And I think it's awesome. It's great to see, and I hope the more the merrier. So if you have questions, Ryan's got all the answers probably. I can at least give you some excitement to it, and we can have some fun. So I highly recommend checking it out if you can.
Look forward to those beers in the second row of the Fall League game, finding the next Joey Weimer, which yes. we were all over with Toby, with Eric Cross, with Chris Clegg, right behind home plate last year. That was a blast.
I'll let people slightly behind the curtain. When Brent sent out the email for people to send pictures in from last year, I almost sent him the picture of Joey from when we were sitting behind him in the dugout. But I was like, yeah, he probably wouldn't get the joke as well as we would. But like, all the insides would know what a picture of Joey would be. That's all I need to know. One of the best.
He's called up.
Yeah, one of the best live baseball experiences I've ever had. It was just an absolute blast. So, yeah, highly recommend checking it out, everybody. Let's talk about some news. Andrew Benintendi traded to the Yankees. Actually just changed dugouts as Kansas City was in New York. And goes to the Yankees for some prospects and pitching prospects. I'm not a prospect expert. Some people actually said, well, at least one of them is actually a pretty decent prospect. Let's throw some gas, basically. Could be a nice late-inning guy with potential to be like a starter. But Benny going to the Yankees, it could mean less time for Gallo, which he's earned. There's a lot of things that it could mean with Benintendi there. So what are your takes on this one?
Yeah, this was honestly, like, out of all of the potential trade rumors so far, this, I think, for redraft leagues probably has the biggest impact, just because there's so many, like, dominoes that fall because of this move. So Benintendi started tonight, hit leadoff, and I think he's going to be their leadoff guy for the lack of power, the lack of speed that Benintendi has shown this year. He is hitting .320, and he does have a .387 on base, a .398 slug. So he's almost got a higher on base than a slugging percentage, which is really hard to do these days. But Benintendi probably slots into that leadoff spot regularly, should be, hopefully, at the expense of Joey Gallo and not our boy Aaron Hicks. I think that's what's going to happen. Now, Stanton's on the IL right now. So Gallo's, I guess, going to continue to get some run. But I think Benintendi's obviously a huge winner if anyone still, for some reason, has Joey Gallo on their team. You should have cut him a while ago, and now you definitely can, I think, because he misses out even more.
And if you need even more reason to cut Joey Gallo, let's go look at Justin Mason's thread today about comparing his stats to other stats. And it just makes it like if he really needed more help, it just makes it stand out so much more. You're just like, wow, like it's like that bad. So I guess one of those people go, well, he can get hot at any moment. I don't care. I really don't. If he gets hot, more power to him. He's already crushed your soul. So like, don't drag it out any longer. Go take your chances elsewhere. So 100% with you on that one. We'll see. Hopefully it's not Hicks. Hopefully it's Gallo. You never know with the Yanks. If anything, it just gives a talented team more depth, you know, with Giancarlo going out, Judge
hope he doesn't, but he always finds his way onto an IL at some point in time. Hopefully he doesn't, but it's just, it gives them more flexibility, which is going to be tremendous for them going forward. Plus a big OBP asset in Vinny. So I'm with you there. All right. Happened about an hour or so before we started recording. Tyler Naquin traded to the New York Mets. This was a big bummer because I actually, sneaker, I picked him this week. I wouldn't have picked him now. But he had three great matchups in Great American Small Park against the Baltimore Orioles. I was very excited about that play. Now he goes to New York, which, I don't know, they just went and got Vogelbach. Now they got Naquin. It's an interesting situation. And Naquin went deep today on Thursday. So I was really looking forward to this weekend. And I even tweeted out, couldn't you wait until Monday to trade Tyler Naquin, please? But they didn't. So what's your thoughts on this move? It's just the Mets keep adding these kind of middle-of-the-pack lefties right now.
Yeah, that's the problem. And by the way, Bubba, Constitution does state you can change your pick mid pod if you're that good at multitasking. I'm not.
It's happening.
If you want to swap out Naquin mid pod before we get to the weekend matchup segment, Constitution allows that. So
thank you.
Naquin, I think this is like terrible for Tyler Naquin's fantasy value, but basically for Bubba, the reasons you kind of said, he just kind of goes from a team and a ballpark in Cincinnati that I think would just let him play pretty much every day, definitely against right-handed pitching, but even against lefties as well. I think he goes from that to, yeah, just another lefty outfielder on that team, just another lefty. You've got Jeff McNeil there, and as a lefty, you got Brandon Nimmo, you've got Travis Jankowski, then you got Tyler Naquin. So I don't really see like that, and I don't know how much the Mets actually gave up to get Naquin. Like you said, neither of us are kind of prospect guys, so we'll kind of leave that one alone. But in redraft leagues, like I think honestly, in 15 teamers, even Naquin is a drop. I just don't see the playing time being there for him, enough of it to make that worthy. So that's the bummer. And I think we'll probably talk about a couple potential Reds trade targets later on. I think any Reds hitter that gets moved at the deadline, it's a bad move for their fantasy value for those exact same reasons, the park and just, I mean, we're both big proponents of decent fantasy players that are decent players that rack up plate appearances on bad teams. That's no longer going to be the case once these guys move to contenders and have to kind of fight for playing time.
Yeah, it's going to stink. Like we saw what happened to Jesse Winker right out the gate. Even before the season, you saw projection sites take into the account leaving Great American Small Park. And obviously Seattle's a big difference, but it's not much different in Queens, to be honest. And you just look at roster resource and a lot can change, but you already have Nimmo, Starling Marte and Mark Connor in the outfield. They have Naquin on the bench. Naquin will potentially like platoon with maybe a Mark Connor or something, but you'd have to imagine Nimmo and Marte are pretty much out there. So it's going to drain his value in a big way, not just the ballpark, just playing time in general. So going from hitting in the middle of the order in the most hitter friendly home run ballpark in baseball to a platoon player is definitely less than ideal. So I had him in a lot of leagues and he will be getting dropped this weekend. So that's a big bummer. This is what happens at the trade deadline. There's goods and there's bads. This was a bad one for fantasy value in a big, big way. This is a crappy one because everyone was pumped for Max Meyer getting called up recently. Well, he left his last start and now he's having Tommy John surgery. So big, big bummer there. Obviously, you can drop him now and you probably don't have to worry about him until 2024. But we keep talking about the Marlins. You know, we like Braxton Garrett. They got Edward Cabrera coming back. We didn't know where all these pitchers were going to go, but it looks like we might have some more clarification on that now.
Yeah, I mean, it anytime like a prospect like this goes down, I mean, it just sucks. And like you said, Bubba, the timing. I mean, the timing is kind of a double-edged sword with Meyer. Like, I don't think we see him again until 2024, just given like I'd be shocked if he came back early and pitched the end of 2023. So from that aspect, like it's rough. We're not going to see the guy for 2 years. That said, he will be 18, I think, if my math is somewhat correct, 18 months removed from Tommy John surgery by roughly opening day 2024. So maybe Meyer is kind of a full go at that point. But yeah, just kind of hope for the best. Definite like Dustin May vibes there. You just never want to see that from a prospect. And just the fantasy angle, like a lot of wasted fab money on Max Meyer this season because of that. But
big bummer. Big bummer. Another big bummer, and we kind of talked about it last week with Mike Trout, where like the reports kept getting kind of murkier and weirder, and it got even weirder this week. I didn't think it could murkier. Be. Yeah, like we already like, oh, there's no timeline, and now it's he has like a rare back condition or disorder, and there is no timetable for like even like a plan to get going again. This is bad, like to the point where it's so hard to drop Mike Trout, but I really don't think he's playing again this year. Like, this is a weird one, right? Like, I'm not going to tell anybody to drop Mike Trout because that's one, like, you never know. He could wake up in a week and he's back in 2 weeks because it's a condition. It healed because it's weird. We don't know. It sounds like it's way worse than that. So I don't know what your thoughts are on this.
So a couple of things. Like, yeah, the article came out and, you know, there's the update on Trout. And there were words in there like no timetable. There were words in there like this may affect him for the rest of the career, for his career, which is just like that's just scary stuff. Yep. And then you had Trout come out, I don't know, a couple hours later and say, this is, you know, my phone's been blowing up, like people texting me like I've died and I'm done. And
did he's they like, hang his jersey up like the White Sox did?
Like the Eloy, yes, like Eloy part two. And so I don't know, the player is always going to be more optimistic, I think, than the team and the reports and that sort of thing. I actually have Mike Trout in my main event. And so I've got to make this decision this weekend. What I'm leaning towards with Trout is keeping him for one more week. So the timetable here is Trout got a cortisone injection in his back about a week ago. And they say that it takes about 2 full weeks for that thing to take effect. So I just want to see, like, once the cortisone shot takes full effect, it's been 2 weeks. Is Mike Trout doing baseball activities or is it still kind of no timetable next week? Just because, like, I know you don't want to play scared and be nervous of your drops, but I can't reconcile, unless a couple more guys go down for me this week in my main, I can't reconcile dropping Trout right now. I'd probably give him one more week just to see what happens once that cortisone has taken its full course, but it's rough.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I'm not going to say to do it, but I'm nervous as I'll get up. Like, has the feelings kind of like last year, where just like never got better. It just feels like, and the Angels aren't getting any better, so why push it again? It's getting
well, and that's the that's the exact same thing with last year. Then last year it sounded like with the ankle that he or the ankle the calf that he was pretty much ready to go in September, and there was no reason to push it. So I'm worried. I mean, and I say this, but I may have to drop Trout. I mean, it just all depends on injuries and how many of these trade deadline guys I want to take. It's not a fun decision.
No, it's not. It's a knock on wood. I'm glad I don't have him this year, but I hate to have that decision. Let's put it that way. I'd hate to have it. All right. This one stings, and I get it, especially the Dodgers who are just loaded with options with Andrew Heaney coming back and just they're just getting healthier, which stinks. But Mitch White, he hasn't been great. He hasn't been horrible. He's just not striking dudes out, which surprised me. Like, he was striking guys out of the minors. He wasn't dominating them here. He got sent back down to AAA. This is a guy I picked up in a lot of leagues. Didn't break the bank for, thank God, because I got him like a week early. But he's back in AAA, and I think this is one of those where you might see him come back and forth from time to time, but he's definitely not worth rostering to me, obviously, in AAA at this point in time.
Right. Yeah, Mitch White's not the guy you stash in hopes that he comes back up, which I think White will. LA is going to need just some innings fillers over these last 2 months. But right now it is kind of that combination of a roster squeeze with Heaney coming back, with Dustin May about to come back maybe in another week or two. And that combination with Mitch White, like you said, Bubba, like recently he had 4 starts in July, 8% swinging strike rate, 6% K minus walk. Like, you never want to see those numbers in single digits. So the effectiveness kind of waned with Mitch White. I think this is just kind of clearing some room on the roster. And like I said, I expect him to be back at some point, but not worth stashing at all. And even when he comes back up, it might just be like a kind of a long relief or three to four innings at a time kind of a deal.
100%. That's kind of a bummer, but a name I'd still remember for next year if I was people. Just keep that name in mind, because eventually I think we will see production from him going forward. If not, yeah, you can be wrong. Garrett Cooper, wanted to bring this up, went to the IL, but there is no designation of an injury, so it appears to be COVID related. So that's the assumption, because there's no injury designation. So I just want to bring it up because that means he could be back like any day, all with the new rules. So just keep that in mind if you have Garrett Cooper rostered anywhere. I don't know if full panic mode is ready to set in just yet.
I'm glad you brought that up because I made that mistake of just seeing IL, and it feels like this is the 12th time Garrett Cooper's been on the IL this year.
That's why I wanted to bring it up because
I was just like, oh, I got hurt again. Exactly. Like, oh, it's just Garrett Cooper being Garrett Cooper. But that's a good piece of info. You always at least want to just click that link and see what it is, because if it is COVID related, they could come back. I know Mike Moustakas has been on the COVID IL three or four times this year. Man. So maybe that's one of those.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see what it is. But yeah, he might, like, literally Cooper could be back this weekend. So you just, hopefully it's for the best. Giancarlo Stanton went to the IL with tendonitis in his Achilles. I think they said he's going to be out about 2 to 4 weeks potentially. And the one thing is, like, I'm a big guy. He's a big guy. He's big in muscular ways. I'm big just because I'm big. But one thing I can tell you is your lower limbs, like where your Achilles are, a lot of weight on that when it's hurt is not a good thing. So he's going to need to heal that up properly before he can't come back early is what I'm trying to say. So I would err on the side of the longer time off is what I'm trying to say with Giancarlo Stanton, if that makes sense.
That does. And you just tack on the fact that the Yankees probably don't need to push it with him and shouldn't. I mean, Stanton was struggling awesome. In a big way. Like right before, like maybe the week before Achilles. He's been great this year. You just wonder, like, how long has that thing been lingering? But I guess this is why they made the Benintendi move. Just to get another body there in the outfielder, and I guess long live Joey Gallo for now. But I agree with you too. Like, I think I would always go for the longer end of that estimate, given that given those contextual factors with Stanton.
A couple did you knows that I heard on TV today, as just for fun segments here. Two things regarding the Yankees. I think they're like 66-33 or something right now, like some ridiculous record. They're like, I think they said it was like 19-19 over the last 38 games, but they're still like 12 games in first place because they're that good. So that I just thought that was impressive how good they are. But the big did you know that shocked me? It is July 28th. Do you know how many home runs Jock Peterson has hit in the month of July?
I'll go zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Zero. When they said that on his first at bat tonight, I had to literally look it up on Fangraphs because he had such a monster June that you just kind of still think, you know, he's crushing it. And I know it hasn't been as good. I'm not oblivious to that, but zero home runs in July.
I believe it. Wow. Also on my main event team, which not surprisingly is starting to tank. But yeah, it's actually Peterson. He played Thursday night. I mean, the Giants just don't have bodies anymore. Yeah. But he looked terrible against lefty Justin Steele in a couple at bats. But I'm going to one up you even more. And this is just me venting, Bubba, on your little fun facts. Did you know? I'm going back to the Yankees here. So what's the Yankees record? Like, what, 66-33
or something like that? Yeah.
How many wins does a 350 ERA?
Oh, Jordan don't Montgomery, get me started. This is the guy I vented
Jordan
on.
Montgomery have yeah, on that 66.
He has three wins. He has three wins because he was one of my bold predictions on Potapalooza this week, and I was like, he's gonna end the season with at least 10 wins. He's gonna have 7 wins in the second half. It's not gonna happen. No run. Yeah, he's getting the Matt Cain treatment.
Wow, this is what good it is. Pull. Good pull. Yeah. That's fair. Completely fair.
He's getting the Matt. He pitches great and gets no run support. Jacob DeGrom, if people want more recent terminology, this is what it is. It's a shame.
And sometimes I get like Sandy Alcantara, like the Marlins' offense is terrible. So like you kind of get it. Montgomery, like that's not a bad offense at all. That's a knockout bullpen. Like every other contextual factor is there. Montgomery a couple times didn't, you know, not a couple times, but earlier in the season, maybe didn't go third time through the order that often, got the early hook. But like, that's really hard to do to have a 350 ERA on a 66 win team in July and have three wins. So yeah. I feel better now that I'm getting this. We're way off the rails, but
this is what it's all about. Let's vent. It's vent. It's necessary. You know, we started with Mike Trout woes and just keep it coming. It's okay. It's what we're here for. You can get more of this at First Pitch Arizona in November.
More intensity after a couple
couple pops would be good. All right. Tampa Bay Rays, Mike Zunino, Kevin Kiermaier, both out for the season. Just wanted to bring that up because a team that, you know, they went and traded for Betancourt. You have Betancourt and Mejia behind the dish. And Mejia's been banged up a bit too, so keep that in mind. And then the revolving doors in the outfield, Margot's still out for a while. So at least it might shore up some playing time for the likes of Luke Rayleigh and others. So any thoughts on Tampa Bay? Their lineup they put out today was impressive, to say the least.
Yeah, they're starting to fall apart, man. I mean, Bethancourt, like, he's probably rostered in most leagues, but he's obviously the primary guy there now, is with Zunino officially out. Still got, going back to last week, still got the Mighty Quinn on their roster.
He's going to get to play a lot, it sounds like.
It does sound like. I mean, he's one of the few, like, righty bats, or I guess he's a switch hitter, but they platoon so much that could work. Not recommending Roman Quinn, but, yeah, it's a tough stretch of injuries there in Tampa. That's going to be tough for them to go very far in the postseason, given that, and kind of the workload on a lot of their starters is starting to pile up, too, so.
No doubt about it. The Atlanta Braves, Adam Duvall, a wrist injury, had surgery, out for the remainder of the season, most likely. So that was a big bummer to them. He's actually starting to hit the ball like the last week or two, which was surprising. But they have that embarrassment of riches. You know, Eddie R, the Eagle, was back. You still have Guillermo Heredia, who's not a bad fourth outfielder. They might make a trade because that's what they do. Like, it's not the end of the world, but Duvall, done for the season, most likely.
Disappointing year after that, like, 115 RBI season last year. But,
yep. Yeah. Done. And then last but not least, Steven Matz, sprained MCL, out, is his first appearance back from the IL, I believe, maybe second. And then now he's going to be out for an extended period of time, was the answer I saw. So when I hear sprained MCL, Steven Matz, about 2 months of the season left, maybe the postseason he returns. That's my guess. Maybe.
Yeah, and you wonder, like, the push off with the knee, or I'm not sure if it's push knee or his land knee, but either way, like, there's going to be issues there. But yeah, you're right. Like, Steven Matz, and I was all excited. I had stashed Steven Matz. We've talked about Matz a couple times on the pod, just as somebody who had a terrible ERA, but actually pretty good skills. Had 19 whiffs, 7 strikeouts, and 5 1/3 innings in his first return, and then it all went away. He's a drop if you needed me to tell you that, just given how long he's out.
And the irony, the last piece of venting before we get into our weekly vent of our picks.
There will be no venting of my
picks. Not for you this week, no. But Potapalooza, I did the bold predictions piece. It was the third segment the entire Saturday. And Baseball Jimbo, Jamie Sneed from, he's over in, like, I believe, Britain over there. He was on the show. Amazing. The accent, everything. Absolutely amazing. He was at a friend's picnic. His first bold prediction was that Steven Matz was going to basically have, like, a monster second
half. Yeah. Yep.
So good. It was so good. So, like, when that thing came, the alert came across, I just, like, quote tweeted it to him. And I'm just like, we're off to a good start, boys.
So, that's hilarious.
It was so much fun. That was probably one of the crazier, most fun segments I've ever. So I recommend people go check that out. That was pure, way too much laughing took place on that segment. It was good. Good.
Might not have got a lot of great info. Shout out Justin real quick. Yes, shout out Justin and Danielle for, I think, raising over $3,000. Yep. So yeah. I was signed up and then I had to bail because of the potty training situation that we talked about last week. And looking back, like friends picnic, I probably could have recorded and maybe violated some child laws by doing that, but I would have kept the kid out of the video. But it would have been kind of fun to watch me try and record and
juggle your kids potty training with the video. Yeah, no, it's all good. It was a great cause, as always, for Potapalooza. Looking forward to it once again next year. But what I am looking forward to is redeeming myself off of last week's picks, because Ryan took me to school. Steven Kwan had the best week of any pick so far this season. The best.
Bloodbath.
Yeah, it wasn't even close. At least Cutter Crawford was okay, but this was a shellacking in the best way possible.
Yeah, so that's a league record, 18 runs plus RBIs plus.
That's more than your whole season combined, by the way.
That is a lot more. My whole season combined, I've had 12 from Ha-Seong Kim, Cesar Hernandez, Josh Smith, and Jace Peterson. So thank you, Steven Kwan, who actually homered and had like 3 RBI. Like, it was just one of those weeks. So
you hit the gold mine. You hit it.
I did.
And then your pitcher, even Dean Kramer came through for you.
He got me the Ks. He came through. Cutter Crawford was, a fine pick and actually pitched really well tonight.
Just didn't get the strikeouts.
Got a couple Ks, but still pitched pretty well. But your Josh Harrison pick actually looked good, but then that's kind of what I not predicted, but worried about with Harrison is just he's old and
yep.
yep. double headers and that sort of thing. Yep. So I think he got hurt in the middle of the weekend.
He got hurt. Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered. He could have played all four games. He wouldn't have mattered. Kwan was on another level this weekend. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But what do you got for us this week is, I will say this much, pitching's garbage when it comes to streaming this week, at least on NFBC formats. Under our rules, it's garbage this week.
Yeah, it and actually we had to delay the recording a little bit because I had to find and pick my pitcher to pick for this week. I ended up going with Ian Anderson, who gets the Diamondbacks on Saturday. This may be Ian Anderson's swan song in the Atlanta rotation for right now, but I think he can actually get some K's against that Arizona team, which isn't, you know, obviously the best lineup out there and kind of have very little to play for at this point. Ian Anderson, for all of his struggles, his deficiencies, it has all been control related. A 12% walk rate in July, 11% in June. The strikeouts have kind of been there. The whiffs have definitely been there. 12% swing strike on the season, 14% in June, and then back to 12 in July. So I'm just kind of banking on the whiffs to continue to be there and just kind of hope that the control is at least passable to get Ian Anderson five or six innings, which could net him five or six Ks. That's the general thought. But it was a very difficult week to pick pitching this weekend.
Yeah, the person I picked, I would never roster with the 10-foot pole. Let's put it that way. I guess this is a tough one. The only thing with Ian Anderson is what I'll mention is I wrote him up recently for a sell low part of a column. You mentioned the walk rates and the strikeout rates. He has like an 8% K to walk over his last like four starts. It's been bad, like really bad for him. So this might be a swan song, as you mentioned, but he's still getting the strikeouts. So we'll see. My pick, like pitching is by far my worst. Like hitting, I usually do well in pitching, not so much. You've owned me in pitching this year. I went with Andre Pallante of the St. Louis Cardinals, going up against the Washington Nationals, hopefully a team with fewer players than they have right now as we speak. Let's go with that angle first. A team that's offensively challenged, which I think we can all agree upon there. And the thing with Pallante, if I'm probably saying it wrong, he has at least four strikeouts in four straight starts. He doesn't go super deep into games, but he's getting strikeouts. So I'm going to go with that angle that in the month of July, he's at least getting strikeouts. He's getting whiffs. So that's what we're shooting for here. We're not looking for the quality starts. We're not looking for all those goodies. He's given up 16 runs in 18 in the third innings, but he's also struck at 18. He has a 287 xFIP, though. So, quote unquote, maybe getting unlucky. We'll see. But it's not pretty. Like, only a 7.9% swinging strike rate. I'm not going to, like, run home to that. Does have a 16.1% K to walk, which is not bad. It's not great. So I'm just hoping for, like, 4 to 5 Ks and praying Ian Anderson gets shelled. That's all I'm looking for because the options are bad. The one thing, the caveat I'll tell people, you play on something besides an FBC because our rules is less than 50% rostered. So it's pretty bleak this week. And a lot of aces going this weekend. If you play like on Yahoo or something, a lot of these guys are low. Like Aaron Ashby's still in like 30%. He's going this weekend. There's a bunch of dudes that are like 40% or less over on Yahoo. So don't just completely not pay attention to the weekends, what I'll tell you. But for our game, it was very bleak.
And the other thing too, like just takeaways, because I don't know how many people care about our actual picks. Maybe at first pitch they will, because we've got some skin in the game here. But I think the takeaway is like you don't need to start these bad pitchers if you don't have to. Like I picked up Evan Phillips in my main event last week for the kind of short week coming off the break. Had two wins, three appearances, and a few Ks. Like that's going to help you so much more than some of these lower batter fees. Even like a Michael Givens this week, and we'll probably talk about him later in the show. Those kinds of guys who are pitching seventh, eighth inning, who you kind of get the double whammy of probably decent ratios. Maybe you luck into a win or save or something, but they kind of double as a save spec. And maybe after the trade deadline, they fall into that closer role. So I think that's kind of the main takeaway on the pitching side this weekend, heading into Fab as Patrick Wisdom goes deep.
Because Jock, I think I could jump higher than Jock Peterson right there. Goodness gracious,
not athletic.
Man. Oh my god, athletic. That was embarrassing. But, white man can't jump apparently.
No. Whew. But that's the main kind of I think theme I take of this weekend is start stacking those save specs.
Most definitely. Speaking of stacking, because pitching is what it is. Who's your hitter this weekend?
So he's the next Steven Kwan, man. Yep. It's Kevin Biggio. I think just more matchup based. Toronto has our easiest, by far, Baseball HQ's easiest matchup rating as a team for hitters this weekend. They get 3 against Detroit, and it's all Detroit righties. So it's Garcia, it's Hutchison, and it's, I keep G Hill. I want to say Grant Hill, but obviously not Grant Hill. It's Garrett Hill going on Sunday for Detroit. So like that combination of terrible pitching from the right side, I'm going to go Kevin Biggio in that lineup that starting to get pretty, pretty hot right now. So.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. I'm going Homer here because I pivoted at the last minute. We'll see how it goes, but I went Austin Slater, because I added him everywhere this week because they faced 4 lefties. He gets 1 more lefty this weekend, yeah. But he's actually starting still and leading off versus righties as well more often than not. He's hitting righties like almost at a 400 clip since he started playing every day, just not hitting for power, but he's getting on. He's stealing bags. Lamont Wade might start from time to time at leading off, but Slater's getting the starts, so I'll take that. He gets Drew Smyly on Saturday, which is always a nice one. Plus, it's Will Clark retirement number night. So, you know, Slater will go deep on that one. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Austin Slater, hoping he can get on and do some damage. He already had, I think, a RBI double tonight and off of Justin Steele. So I went Austin Slater looking for that leadoff guy, getting those extra ABs. I wanted Tyler Naquin so bad, but the Reds just – the Reds did Reds things and screwed up all the fun. That would have been a beautiful one. But yeah, Austin Slater for me.
Cool. That's interesting on Slater because I was going to ask you because I figured I saw your pick and I was like, oh, they must be at least a couple lefties, but only the one lefties or only the one lefty. Sorry, but you kind of answered that question before. And actually, Mike Curlin just chimed in the chat. Slater has only started one of the last 3 right-handed pitching, but did that. Oh, so that
changed. So. Of course, it changed this week. The week I picked him up everywhere, because before that, he was playing like every day. But Mike Curlin, the man that does reports on lineups all the time, he would know much more than me, because as a Giants fan, I can't even sit and watch these games.
Thank you, Curlin. You just put better odds on me winning this week.
It's okay. It's okay. He'll pinch hit home runs versus the lefty bullpen of the Cubs. They probably don't even have a lefty reliever. I just jinxed the entire thing. So it'll be glorious. But yeah, let's just see what happens. I've been bad at this game. I blame it all on the Reds. It's all their fault this week. But speaking of trades, let's do some trade preview. This will be fun because, you know, we could predict where trades go, but I think it's more fun to say, okay, these guys are probably getting traded. How do we fill those holes? I think that's the important part. We can't really all predict where they're going to go, but it's a great exercise you brought up that let's not worry about the end result on one side. Let's figure out the result on the other side, which we can already plan for now, which I think is a much wiser move. Because in reality, most of these bad teams trading guys aren't going to get too many major league ready players to fill that spot. So they're going to have to fill it within house more often than not. So that's definitely a good point to bring up. So we'll go around the diamond or around the league, I guess. And you highlighted it. MLB Trade Rumors has a great article. It's the main targets to go off of there that you're hearing everywhere. And let's start with the Cubs bullpen. David Robertson's been really good this year. He's likely to get dealt. Michael Givens has been sneaky good of late. I heard Greg Jewett recently say he's probably going to get dealt as well. If he doesn't, he makes the most sense to fill in because he's actually filled in this last week. Most of the time, not every time, because you got a guy listed here that actually got a save this past week. But there are some good options. And I even mentioned, I'll give you the floor here, but Efros is the other guy you mentioned. And I mentioned him on a recent podcast as well. I was adding him, or he was in my waterfalls for $1. I didn't get far enough to him, but I think he's a definite one. So what's your thoughts on the Chicago bullpen, Mr. Bloomfield?
It's so tricky, man. Because like, yeah, I think we can all agree David Robertson is probably gone and should be. Like, they're cashing Robertson out at optimal value right now with a 183 RA with a 0.99 whip. Like, you make that move. The question is, how deep are the Cubs going to go? Because Givens is a free agent at the end of the season, so he's basically just a rental as well. So I don't know but I will lay out the two scenarios. If it's only Robertson who is dealt, Givens is the guy. Yep. Givens got the save earlier. He's pitched earlier this week. He's pitched fantastic. If Givens is dealt, it's going to be tricky between Rowan Wick and Scott Efros. Like you mentioned Efros, Bubba. Efros has been by far, like not even close, the better pitcher.
Yeah.
The problem is Rowan Wick has closed for Chicago in the past. Like I can't say with any certainty, really, that it's going to be Efros over Rowan Wick if Givens and Robertson are dealt. But what I can do is at least side with the skills and say Rowan Wick, even if he got the job, could be out of it within a week or two anyway. So take the skills. If it's a 50-50 kind of toss up like that, go with Scott Efros, pick him up. I would still prioritize Givens over Efros, but there's a very real chance that both Givens and Robertson are dealt this weekend. So, or on, I guess on Tuesday. The actual trade deadline.
Yeah, if you just look at the roster resources closers chart, like Saturday, Robertson got the win. Givens pitched the 10th, or no, pitched at one of the late innings. But then on Sunday, Efros and Martin got holds. Robertson got the save. On Monday, Efros got the save. Givens blew the save, got the win. So he would have got the save. Tuesday, Givens got the save. So technically, Givens could have back-to-back saves. Yep. And Efros got kind of the courtesy save his first of the year. He's got 12 holds, which leads the bullpen. So they trust him in the high-leverage situations. Long way of saying, I think it's Givens for sure. But if not, I would go with Efros. The only reason why, besides the experience for Wick, the Cubs are so damn cheap. If they give Efros any argument to get paid more money in any future arbitration hearing, they won't do it. So it's like, we've already given Wick the closer's role. What do we have to lose? Like, go throw him back out there. It is what it is. Let's just keep Efros as a late inning guy going forward and figure it out from there. That would not surprise me either. So
glad you just a quick aside, glad you did that walkthrough, Bubba, of, and that's what, if we're kind of teaching people how to evaluate bullpens, that's exactly what you should do, is go back, and Roster Resource has this stuff, go back through the last 5-7 days or whatever of those bullpen usage patterns and see what you can find, see who was put in the save situation more so than just even looking at the results themselves. So that was a really good walkthrough.
No problema. Sticking with the Cubbies, Wilson Contreras, he was emotional leaving Wrigley Field the other night. And I think it's because he got to go play in the best ballpark in baseball now in San Francisco, but maybe it's because he's last game in Wrigley. I don't know. But there's a great chance, I'd say like better than 95% chance he's getting traded, but there's always a slim chance he doesn't because things can happen. But you have Yan Gomes, you have PJ Higgins. Like, would you be shocked if they traded Gomes too for some reason if someone came calling? Probably not. I think he stays, but Contreras is gone. So where do you go there? Like, Gomes has actually been serviceable. So that's something.
Yep. I mean, that's where you go. I mean, it's easy to kind of crack on Yan Gomes, but like, I mean, he has no play patience at all, but 15% K rate, like he's putting the ball in play. And in 5x5 Roto, where you're not playing in OBP leagues, it's just batting average. I always make this case, like walks are honestly kind of like a bad thing. It's a missed opportunity, especially if it's a guy who does not run and can't take advantage of those walks with the stolen bases. But getting back to Yan Gomes, I mean, he's only hitting .221. He's got 5 homers. He's got some pop. At least has had some pop in the past, and really low BABIP this year. So projections have him around .245 the rest of the season for Yan Gomes as a second catcher. And that's really the space we're living in here right now. That'll play, especially you double up the playing time with Wilson Contreras out. So Yan Gomes is a serviceable second catcher, which I don't know, in two catcher leagues, it works.
In years past, I have rostered Yan Gomes in two catcher leagues. Like, it's nothing flashy, but when he's out there, he produces. So, like, it's not the worst thing.
I mean, early, he's had a weird career. In 2014, yep, that was his third season, his first full season, really, in the majors. Hit .278 with 21 homers. Like, he was a top 5 catcher going into 2015.
And he's had streaks where he plays really well, and then he platoons, and he plays really well, and he platoons. It's a weird career he's had, but gets longevity for him, so that's always good. An interesting one to me, I didn't really realize this was going to happen, because he still has 2 years of options left, so I was kind of surprised by this, but everyone's, like, Ian Happ, they're saying he's gone. Like, he was getting the swan song, too, not just Wilson Contreras the other day at Wrigley. And I guess it's, you know, sell him at his peak and he's got extra years, so maybe they have to pay more for him in a trade. I just figured I don't see teams paying a bunch for Ian Happ, power, speed, middle of the pack, batting average type guy. But he could be gone. That's an interesting one, because I saw it even before this article. Like, they were talking about it, and it just kind of surprised me that he would be gone. But if he leaves, the outfield situation is bleak in Chicago.
That's the thing. Like we're just kind of looking for any kind of any fill in with a pulse here, and maybe like Nelson Velazquez gets regular run in the outfield if Ian Happ is dealt. Which I'm kind of with you, man. Given like the years of control on Happ, it doesn't really make sense for the Cubs to dump him. But I don't know if they do. I still like Nelson Velazquez, 32% K rate, and just doesn't have. You know, a whole lot to bring from the speed side. I guess he did steal like seven. Actually, no, he's stolen 12 bases in the minors this season, which is actually interesting. One of the things that this is not totally related, but like there's been some kind of not rumors, but whispers on the minor leagues with the pitch clock, how much that has been affecting
minor leagues. Because they can time when they're going to take their jumps. That makes total sense. Yeah. And
it could actually be an issue, or not an issue, like something to consider next season. So I have heard from a few smart people that have looked at, and this came up actually with Estuary Ruiz. Yeah. Was like, yeah, how big of that grain of salt do you take with that minor league stolen base number?
That's a great point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of semi-unrelated, but like Nelson Velazquez, he's got a 15% barrel rate and 76 plate appearances, so maybe there's some pop there, but the K rate that has been 35-36% in the minors this season, that's not going to get much better in the majors, so I'm pretty much out on any kind of Cubs replacement. It's going to be a rough outfield there the rest of the season if they deal have.
Yeah, whoever it is might be like an NL-only dollar bid type guy. Like, yeah, he gets at bats. Come on down. They're all valuable there. Yeah. The Kansas City Royals, this one makes a lot of sense if they can get the right return. Whit Merrifield, you know, it's not the year you'd be hoping from Whit, but it's still serviceable, a little bit of pop, still got some speed. Maybe on a better team would change things. It's been a down season, but he's very affordable. And we know he can play infield, he can play outfield. A lot of contenders could use a player like Whit Merrifield, a lot. So this one I could see happening. Just I don't know who. I couldn't tell you, but there's a lot of contenders that could use a Whit Merrifield. So this could be an interesting move in the next few days.
Yeah, and for this is one where like where Merrifield goes, if he does go, of course, could alter his fantasy value just because. I mean, is the team going to let him run? I mean that is Whit Merrifield's value as a fantasy player. And he has had that green light for years in Kansas City. And so you just wonder, but that's all. I mean, really we would be lying to you if we really had any idea where Whit Merrifield's going to go. I would even say like, oh, he's probably not going to go to an AL East team given the vaccination status and all that, but that didn't stop Andrew Benintendi getting traded to the Yankees. So I don't even know if that's in play anymore either. So
the Jays were the runner up in that, so the vaccination was not an issue with that one. Yeah, they were the second. Like if the Yankees didn't pull it, they almost had a deal in place that sent them to Toronto. And I'm just like, oh, gotcha. Okay, we see how this game gets played. So yeah, I wouldn't worry about it with Whit either. It sounds like if there's a chance to win a title, they'll take a shot. So that's what it sounds like with these boys. But also, like, who knows?
And then on the Kansas City side, like at second base, I don't know who they throw out there.
It's got to be someone in the minors, maybe. Maybe we get Adalberto Mondesi back. Who knows? I'm just kidding.
It won't be MJ Melendez, I don't think.
No, I don't think it'll be Vinny P. I don't think it'll be Vinny P either. Yeah, I don't think we're having an Italian breakfast at second base. Don't think it's happening.
It'd be fun to watch.
It would be out. Like, dude, they could build a softball team. Like, I've seen guys my size play shortstop in softball. So they could build a softball team out there. That would be entertaining for sure. Let's go to Cincinnati. Another move that definitely should be happening any day now. Luis Castillo probably pitched his last game for the Reds recently. Tyler Molly is another guy that could go, but Luis Castillo for sure should be gone. This is a move that could have happened the last couple years, but this definitely makes sense to happen. And the scary thing is it sounds like the Yankees are the front runners, which just what they need more pitching. But Castillo is going to go, which just opens up another spot in Cincinnati, a team that has some sketchy pitching to begin with.
Yeah, and this is one like, I mean, you can't really do anything about it. As a Castillo manager, you know you're going to get a bump in value just because the team context in Cincinnati with the run support and obviously the park has been terrible. So Luis Castillo gets a big bump. Huge shout out to Tanner Smith, by the way, who wrote an excellent, if any of you guys are HQ subscribers out there, check out Tanner Smith's deep dive into Luis Castillo. I put this in my article last week, but Castillo, who has been known for having like the best changeup in baseball for years and a really good slider, those two pitches have been terrible for him this season. And the fastball has been like the best fastball in the majors. So Tanner kind of digs into that. That's his jumping off point as to why Castillo's doing that and why he's succeeding with the heater. It was pretty eye opening stuff.
Yeah, no, it was a great article as usual. He just puts together amazing stuff. I guess the things you can take away from this is Hunter Green's going nowhere. That's for sure. Even though his struggles are there, but right now they have a 6-man rotation technically. So if you lose Luis Castillo, it is what it is. I could see at some point this year we see a little Justin Dunn back up in the bigs. That's one that I was really excited to see before he got traded to Seattle in the Jesse Winker deal. I mean, to Cincinnati from Seattle in the Jesse Winker deal. There were some good improvements last year at times. The minors have been kind of iffy this year, but I could see him getting a little September run to get some more big league action. But I don't think there's anything that's going to jump off the page right now.
That's what I was going to say is Justin Dunn. And even like Hunter Green, I don't think Hunter Green's pitching the full season.
True.
He's going to be a September shutdown guy.
And yeah, they might just stick with a 6-man to kind of limit the innings all around because Lodolo, Ashcraft, they're all young pitchers. They all are. So it could get real interesting real quick.
Yeah, I think Justin Dunn has like an ERA over 5 in the minors this year. Not just totally write him off, but you take that in Cincinnati. That's not a recipe for success. He does have the pedigree, like former first round pick, and was pretty highly regarded prospect with Seattle, but it doesn't look like it's coming together this year. No. So he's not someone you're like fabbing this weekend to stash even in NL onlys.
And maybe in a perfect world, because some of these guys should get a big return, maybe they get like a caliber fourth MLB starter that becomes a somewhat streamable pitcher. You never know. Like Castillo is good enough to, on the right team, maybe they get someone back that could fill in. But I wouldn't hold your breath type situation. Let's go to Washington. First question for you. Does Juan Soto get traded?
So like I'm a big muter on Twitter. I don't like things.
Don't blame you.
I put this thing out the other day. I muted an emoji for the first time, the thread emoji.
Oh, the thread emoji. That was funny.
Somewhat semi tongue in cheek, because there are some really good threads out there. So you're missing good info. I actually muted Soto after the word Soto after the All-Star or after the Home Run Derby, just because everything was just trade speculation. I thought to myself, like, I'm going to actually miss the trade itself if it does happen. So I don't know if anything, there's just so much at play with a Soto trade. Like, are they going to attach Corbin to a Soto deal? Is there an extension involved? If you're trading for Soto, you've only pretty much got 2 more years after this on his contract before you know you're going to have to pay him $500 million to stay with your team.
That's the big part to me. If you're unloading the minor league system, you better be paying him.
Yep.
That's my big kicker. I'm trying to find you the latest offer I heard, and it's Padres are the front runners. Let's put it that way. But it's a doozy, and I'm trying to find the actual names here. It involves Mackenzie Gore. It involves CJ Abrams. It involves I'm going to butcher this. I had it pulled up earlier and I lost it. It's basically their four top prospects. It's elite. Mackenzie Gore, Adrian Morejone, the pitcher.
Okay. Yeah, and, long lost. Yes. Yeah.
And their top, it's not Hummel, but another one of the top outfielders for the Padres. So it's a loaded return, to say the least. So
I could deal with that.
That's a pretty fair deal for them. Okay. Yeah. So we answered that question. Josh Bell, Nelson Cruz. Nelson Cruz has been – I dropped him in so many places. But there's a chance they all go. Cruz should go. Bell makes sense if they can find a suitor. So how you fill in these holes? Because it's not pretty in Washington. Again, if they make trades for like CJ Abrams, he'll start already and some other guys. But I don't know if they're viable either. So what do you got?
That's so hard to predict. And like so I guess maybe like – The huge takeaway here, and actually I think the most important fantasy takeaway, is pull up the next couple of weeks schedule for Washington and try and take a shot at which starters that are available on your wire are scheduled to face Washington, just because you know you know, probably Josh Bell is gone. I don't know how much they could actually get for Nelson Cruz right now, but yeah, probably I think not they much. Would try and trade him. Like, that could be the ultimate streamer's delight over these last 2 months of streaming against Washington. So really how I would play this is I don't really care where Soto goes from a fantasy standpoint. I don't really care where Josh Bell goes. Look at your Washington schedule the next couple weeks and try and align some rotation and maybe pick up an early stash and fab this weekend for very cheap before the trade deadline hits and before other people do this, and see if you can kind of stack against the Nationals these next couple weeks, because that's going to be a horrid lineup that they're throwing out there.
Yeah, right now this weekend they got Mikolas, Hudson, Pallante, then it goes Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassett, Bailey Falter, Ranger Suarez, Aaron Nola, Kyle Gibson, Justin Steele, Marcus Stroman, and Drew Smiley. So yeah.
So did I just recommend Bailey Falter?
That was the first thing that popped out, because Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassett are obviously taken. So might be DeGrom's return to the bigs, by the way. His first start back might be against the lovely Nationals.
Bigs, return of the bigs in quotes there.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see if that happens. But yeah, Bailey Falter could be one. Oh man, that's good stuff. Yeah.
Andrew Suarez, Nola, Kyle Gibson, that following week, Justin Steele, Marcus Stroman, Drew Smiley. So like I mean, I'd throw Justin Steele against this Washington lineup in pretty much any format. He kind of got screwed again. We were talking about this before the pod, screwed Thursday night defense-wise with the Cubs, but Justin Steele is someone who I actually kind of like. So I don't know. Just an idea there to play, you know, that, and that's what we're trying to teach her, is to just go ahead. Yep. The more you speculate, it may not work out. A lot of times it won't, but if you're speculating, it's a dollar or two bids, and yes, you lose, but what do you lose? Buck or two in fab.
And don't forget, people, you're talking to the Mr. Speculator right there. So you got that going for you as well.
That's right.
Oakland Athletics, they should be making a trade shortly for Frankie Montas, who's been, when healthy, still very, very good. He's going to go to a contender. That's not going to change things for you. You're going to keep him. But when it comes to the Oakland situation, move on is what I would say.
It's pretty much. I mean, I've made fun of Zach Logue a few times. Still have some scar tissue from rostering him a few times. I guess he's back in AAA right now, but Zach Logue will be a part of the A's rotation when Montas gets dealt, for better or for worse.
Yep, he will be. He will be, that's for sure. Detroit Tigers bullpen, Soto's been really good, but Soto, Fulmer, Chafin, they're all on the block to go. Joe Jimenez has been okay from time to time. Like, I'll pull up the good old closer depth chart again so you can have an idea. It's not like they get a lot of save opportunities to begin with, but you'll get an idea of the usage pattern for Detroit here. It's Soto got the loss on a couple days ago. Fulmer got a win. There's been no saves over the last week, no holds over the last week. So it tells you everything you know about the Tigers, honestly.
And it was not the All-Star break. So.
No. They're just, that's see, the
we
Tigers.
We can't have that excuse.
No, and they pretty much stick to the main arms later in the game, too, if you pay attention to that as well.
I mean, that's the kind of the good thing, is Detroit is pretty structured in the pen. Like, I think Chafin's gone. So
Alex Lang, is that a name that interests you?
That's not a name. The name that interests me is honestly Joe Jimenez. Like, Joe Jimenez has quietly been, like, he was built up to be this stud, kind of the next Craig Kimbrell stud prospect closer right out of the gate, and just completely kind of fell on his face. Jimenez has fallen back to more of a mid relief role and is putting together the best skills of his career. So if he did climb back into that Detroit closer gig again, you're betting on Soto getting dealt. You're betting on Chafin getting dealt. And you're also maybe betting on like three or four saves the rest of the way, given the state of affairs in Detroit. But Joe Jimenez is someone. And again, if it doesn't work out, you didn't lose really any fab, and you could put him on your team for a week and get two or three innings of really good ratios, which is what he's been providing.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Jimenez has been on Bubba's teams before, so it's not going to be the first time.
That's not, I assume, in previous years, which.
Yes.
Which,
not this year. Yes.
Which is not.
It did not end well. That's for sure. Trey Boo Boo. Trey Boo Boo is a good chance he's leaving Baltimore, because he did his swan song on Thursday. I love Trey. A big fan. Everyone loves the story, but it sounds bad, but I was calling him Trey Boo Boo before the horrific cancer situation. I always had a soft spot for Trey, And it looks like he's going to be leaving Baltimore, which hopefully means he goes to a better ball club, even though Baltimore's been playing well. But what do you kind of see panning out there? Because he's DH'ing, so you can pretty much go anywhere with this one.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's really hard to tell who's going to fill in. Probably like a Tyler Nevin. Not that interested. Nevin's been playing kind of part-time against, or pretty much full-time against lefties, but part-time overall. Not a name I'm really that interested in. Yusnil Diaz is someone who is
kind of a fun one.
Yep, yeah. He's in the minors. Like maybe they give him a call, but hitting 224 in AAA this year with 3 homers, 3 steals, and 137 plate appearances. It's one of those where I don't think you speculate here on a fill-in in Baltimore. And that's okay to say. Like you don't want to wait. I mean, speculate elsewhere. Not every single fill-in is worth your time.
And if anything, if you guys are in AL only or NL only leagues, then you can go speculate all you want. But for most of our audience that play mixed leagues and like their sanity, don't worry about them. Closing situation, though, Jorge Lopez has been amazing. He's been really, really good this year. He should be traded unless they really think they're going to get it done. He's got 2 saves over the last week. Felix Bautista has been outstanding. Doubt they trade him. Never say never, as Feifel once said. So that would be the guy to go for. If it's not Felix Bautista, though, if he gets traded, where would you go?
It is Felix Bautista. And
what
I would...
if he gets traded is what I'm saying. What do you
then it gets ugly. Then it gets ugly. And honestly, like, I don't know. You're banking on both of those things happening. I just don't see it happen. So yeah. I'm going to punt on that and say Felix Bautista or bust. Felix Bautista awesome. Should be on 15 teamers anyway right now.
Yeah, 100%.
And 12s is where you're probably speculating on the closer gig because that dude has been fantastic.
Yeah, I was speculating on him this past week. Like him and then Efros. Like those are the guys I was already putting bids on this past week because I think at least one of the two is going to have a job here pretty soon. Yeah. Speaking of Baltimore, if you did want to speculate, Kerlin said shed long season. It's not the worst thing Kerlin said because he said a lot of bad things before. So it's not bad. Colorado, Daniel Bard has been very good. Good chance he gets dealt. Lucas Gilbreth has been very, very good. I'll say that much. But they have not been using him in the high leverage situations. It's been Estevez and Colomé, which is not pretty either, Ryan.
No. And even if you're a Bard manager, like you, I don't know, I could see this going off the rails. I think you just kind of cash out. You hope he gets traded and that's your excuse to kind of drop him. I mean, you got your 20 saves, you're playing with house money at this point. Any other reliever in that bullpen, especially with Coors. And Coors is such a, like, there's some nuance to Coors's. So shed long season, Mike Kerlin just said was a joke. So that's good because I shook my head when he said that, and then I kind of felt
he's lying. He only did that because he shook your head. He got caught. Don't listen to him. He's all about. He's a big shed long fan.
Colorado is just such. There's a lot of nuance to that park factor. Everyone kind of I think this point knows it's not a huge home run park, but it's a batting average park. It's a major monthly park, and you do not want to be pitching in Colorado these next 2 months when when it's super dry and it's 90 degrees there and. It's not a place you want to be. It's not a place you want to speculate for saves.
Yeah, 100% with you on that one. So, yeah, and if wherever he gets traded to, not going to be the closer. So, yeah, he's going to be gone after that. A couple more quick ones here. Jose Quintana has been surprisingly good. He's had a couple hiccups his last couple recently, but he's been pretty good. He's likely to get dealt, and it makes total sense. Literally cash in whatever you can right now, Pittsburgh. And so there's not a ton, but one name which – he's been bad this year, but I'd love to see him get a chance as Tyler Beede, put him back in the rotation. Oh. It's been brutal, but I'd love to see him get another chance. Like, what do they have to lose? Do you have any other options when it comes to
soft spot? I don't know if it'll be Beede. Like, I don't know if he'll be stretched out enough, but just kind of funny story. Everyone thinks of Bloom Boards and Nate Evaldi. I started Bloom Boards, I think, like in 2016, 2017. And Tyler Beede was Nate Evaldi. Like, he came up on every single board, just loved the stuff, and just had that injury and derailed his career. I'd love to see Tyler Beede come back. Outside of that, I don't know. I don't know what they'll do with, like, Ronzi Contreras. They're going to be very conservative with Contreras. So I'm not fishing in that pool right now for Pittsburgh, and I agree. Like, where did this come from with Jose Quintana? This is absolutely the time to cash that out.
Yeah, yeah. Cash out in a big, big way. Pirates bullpen, David Bednar has been filthy. It's weird. It depends on where you listen. Like, they're saying they're not going to deal him, but then it makes sense to you, but he's got two options left, so you got to get a good return. Otherwise, it's not worth it. That's a tricky one with Bednar. It really is. It shouldn't be, but it is. So what's your thoughts on this?
That's the thing. Like, I've read those reports too, and I just think in general, for a team in a total rebuild, your closer offers very little to your actual team. And if anything, the additional years of control for Bednar, that should help his trade value. Like, that makes him even more valuable on the trade market. So like, I think Pittsburgh has to make this move. There's not much of reason to keep him there.
Yeah, so. Makes total sense. So do you buy into DeSantos, or where are you going with that?
Yeah, I totally buy into Yerry De Los Santos. That's been another guy. Again, shout out Greg Jewett. They've been over at Reliever Recon. They've been on De Los Santos for quite a while. Fantastic skills in a setup role. The only kind of question is, will Pittsburgh keep De Los Santos in that setup role just to kind of keep him comfortable? He's a 24-year-old. But you bank on these skills. 270 ERA. Like, the peripherals are a little bit down, but 58% ground ball rate. You kind of combine that that strikeout rate with the ground ball rate, and that's the ingredients you want for a pitcher. So Yerry De Los Santos is absolutely a priority in leagues this weekend for me in FAB, because I think Pittsburgh has to deal with that.
I'm with you, and then I'll give you the floor on the last one based on the hashtag that you put in here. You have Miguel Andujar.
I'll be 55 years old and wanting to free Miguel Andujar. It's just, had that excellent rookie season. He even came up in a few games this season and hit well and got sent back down. I mean, it's some of it. I don't know if the Yankees just don't like what they see from Andujar at all. I know the defense is a little shaky. The plate patience is a little shaky. Like, the on-base rate isn't there. So maybe I'm kind of making that reason for the Yankees right now. But I just think if they can get any kind of value for Miguel Andujar, the Yankees should absolutely do it. There's no reason to keep him in that organization. They've obviously prioritized, especially they just added Andrew Benintendi that we talked about. So I just think if Miguel Andujar gets moved to a team that will play him, there is absolutely value there. And again, someone you could pick up for $1 or $0 bids this weekend. No one else, I think, is going to be on except me. And
our 12 listeners,
and our thriving listenership in July when football season's coming.
Yep.
I just there's no risk in if you have room taking a stab at Andujar this weekend.
I don't hate it. He's shown power, speed, like you said. Like, he's been productive, like way more productive, it feels like, this year than in recent years when he's been given a chance. So yes, free him. Go for it. I'd say send him to the Giants and they platoon him. So
we don't want that.
Yeah, we don't want that. So yeah, we'll see where he goes. Maybe, hey, package him to Pittsburgh in the Bednar deal and let him play every day in Pittsburgh.
There we go.
Or send him to Cincinnati and Cincinnati to Luis Castillo deal. Give him great American small
park. That's the ultimate.
There you go.
That's the ultimate.
There you go. Problem solved.
If that happens, that will be amazing this week.
Yes. Perfect. All right. We got some listener questions. You guys came through in a big way. This was nice. I literally have, I think, 10 questions here. Hopefully I didn't miss any. Our buddy Mike Carter came through. Is Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks going to get called up this season? If so, is he worth a speculative ad in a 12-team redraft league? He should get called up. Will he? You never know with the Diamondbacks. 12-team, I can't speculate.
Yeah, never know. Corbin Carroll just hit his, I think, 20th home run this evening, Thursday night. So he's got sitting on 20 homers, 25 bags. Like, yes, I don't need to probably talk about how good Corbin Carroll is. To Mike's question, in a 12-team redraft league, I don't think you speculate on him unless you have the roster spot. But even then, I think there's just so many alternatives that are playing right now that are actually pretty good in 12-teamers that it's not worth it to me. And you just, I don't know, you never know with these guys what the transition's going to be like. So, like, all the plate skills look great with Corbin Carroll. He's hitting over 300, but did have in AA this year a 25% K rate. Like, that's one of the things I look at with these minor leaguers, how that transition is going to go to the majors is the plate skills. And so there's some risk there. So no, I wouldn't in 12s, even in 15s, I might, if I have the roster spot, speculate there, but I don't even know if he'll be up this year.
Yeah. The one, if they do want to bring him up, the one thing I'll say is Peralta might get traded, so it frees up a spot. That's an option. Yep. But with the D-backs, like, what do they have to gain by calling him up right now? It's a tough dilemma to have right there. So,
I mean, the thing they do have to gain is just like that transition is tough, and you're putting him in a like zero stress environment for next season. So like you are giving him some at bats in September when there is just no pressure to perform.
That's true.
That's the one thing.
In the chat here, James D asked a question. The answer is yes. He says, will we see Edwin Rios again in 2022? He started his rehab assignment tonight in Nashville. Yep. So yes, we will.
Yep. And a great power ad. Yep. He comes back.
Patrick Ryan asks, when McCullers is healthy, what will the Astros rotation look like? McCullers made a rehab start tonight on Thursday night, so he should be back in another week or two. But yeah, what do you think? Because I saw some very smart people today, some saying he'd be in the rotation, some saying he'd be a long man. Long man makes more sense to me, Ryan.
Embarrassment of riches in the Houston. I mean, they could go seven-man rotation. Jesus. So, I mean, there's
rumors that Urquidy might get traded. That's insane.
Yeah, as their sixth starter. Yeah, I mean, they're just that's a pitching factory. To go back to the original question, I think McCullers would go back into that kind of relief role, multi-inning kind of a thing. I don't think they go back and throw him right away as a starter for five innings. And I forget, I think it was a couple years ago when McCullers famously threw all curveballs in his relief outing in the playoffs. Like that's what Houston did with McCullers a couple years back, is basically just put him in relief for a few innings at a time. That's how I see this playing out. Even if they do put McCullers in the rotation, like I said, I think the chances of McCullers, given his injury history, consistently going five or six innings right now is just, it's not there. I think they're going to optimize him for the playoffs, as they should.
They should, 100%. And we saw him in the past in the playoffs with McCullers, put him out there for three or four, let him flip that curveball like 80% of the time, and it was beautiful. Yep. So it makes tons of sense. I believe this is your fantasy league friend here. Oregon Ducks 2, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, I remember this from previous weeks. I thought so. He said, probably the most important question you'll be asked all season, what hat are you wearing in the pick on the podcast icon?
I don't know the answer to this one, so I'm curious.
Which podcast icon is it?
The one on the actual logo for the show. Bubba, on
San Jose Giants.
San Jose Giants, okay.
Yes, San Jose Giants. I love going to those games. Got a couple of San Jose hats because they're always cheap, because minor league, they know how to support their fans. And I haven't gone this year, unfortunately, but yeah, it's a San Jose Giants hat, and I like it because it's not the typical orange and black. It's the orange and white, so it's a little different. It's a nice little look. So, yeah,
I would not.
It took me a second. It took me a second. I'm like, wait, this bench with Bill doesn't have a hat. You don't have a hat. Which one is? Oh, God.
You don't have a hat. You don't have hair. What are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, yeah, there's a shampoo question later. It's not even about me. What are we doing? Tim Wyatt, great listener of the show. Does Christian Javier end up back in this bullpen at some point? Thanks in advance. Kind of. We already hit on that with McCullers. I think we'll see it depends if Urquidy gets traded, for one. That's a big one. But I think there'll be some times where guys kind of, you know, there's some piggybacking going on to kind of rest guys for the postseason, as you said. So I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense too. Like, I guess Seattle. See, I mean, Seattle's had a hell of a run lately, but they're still 10 games behind Houston. So Houston's going to basically kind of just manage innings with all these guys. I think Javier would stay in the rotation just to keep that routine for him. So, and like you said, Urquidy might get dealt, and I'm not, like we were just talking about with McCullers, I'm not sure he's that much of a threat to take rotation spots at this point.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that one. Nate Curtis has a great question. Time to give up on Riley Green for this year. I actually wrote him as a solo target as well. It's been brutal for Riley Green, and he's not even, it's just been brutal. I want to hear your thoughts on this, because you look at his stat line, just look over like the last 2 to 4 weeks, you pick your gap, and it's just been bad.
It's been bad. It's kind of getting worse. A 286 OBP over the last month with two homers. And the big thing with Riley Green is, he's not successful on the base pass. He's 1 for 5 stolen bases. So like that green light can go away in an instant once you start going 1 for 5. So, you know, this kind of dud of a season does nothing, in my opinion, to kind of tarnish Riley Green's long-term outlook. But if you're in a redraft league and you've got better options on the wire, I would not hold out for Riley Green turning this around all of a sudden.
Yeah, 100% with you there. His other question is, thoughts on Nolan Jones of Cleveland? Small sample size, but his baseball savant expected stats look really good. I've been so torn on Nolan Jones this entire time.
Yeah, I think like a lot of the questions originally were like, would he stay in the lineup? How's the playing time? And he's answered those. 400 ABP, hitting 300. Scouts love the hit tool. The power metrics look great. Like, I'm on board right now with Nolan Jones. That transition to the majors has gone swimmingly. And as long as that continues to go, I think he's going to play at least versus righties every day.
And Cleveland, why? Like, if, as long as he's at least not like, give him reps. Like sinking. Like, yeah, like you said with the whole Carroll thing. He's out there, give him reps. It makes a ton of sense, especially the more I thought about the Carroll thing. It's like, you're going to let him face this elite Dodgers staff probably at least two rotations through if he call him up soon. He's like in the Padres, Darvish, Snell might be good, Musgrove. Like, he's going to face some pitching he'll never see before. Like, might as well let him go see it now and see what happens. So I think it's a great call there. Alan De Leonardis says, this is for you, Ryan. I guarantee you, because it's not for my goatee. What shampoo and conditioner do you use? Are you muted?
Oh, my bad. I punted the question is what I did. No, that was rookie mistake. I muted myself for the shampoo question. And this is important. Like, when I had the fro, when I had the COVID fro, there was a lot of shampoo going in that thing. So cost was an issue. So I went value, and I'm still going value. Give me Head and Shoulders with Old Spice scent, 2-in-1 dandruff control. Shampoo, conditioner with dandruff. It's like $9 for the big bottle, and that's all I need. So that's what I'm rolling with, consistent with that. So
interesting. I think with the last time I used shampoo, Pert Plus, maybe. I don't know. It was that long ago. I don't even know if Pert Plus is still around.
Still around?
I don't even know if it's still around. But back in the day, the green bottle, that was like a popular thing. So yeah, that was a long, long time ago.
I haven't seen a Pert Plus bottle in.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you because I don't go down the shampoo aisle. So I wouldn't know where to go. He has a baseball question for us, though. In light of Dustin May's excellent rehab start today, and they said after the rehab start, he should have at least one more, and then they will reassess the plan for him. What do you expect from him down the stretch?
I'm very optimistic on Dustin May right now. I just think the way that LA is treating the rehab, they're going to bring him back as a starter. So Dustin May threw, I think, 50 pitches in Thursday night's rehab start, went like three innings, looked really good. And he's going to have two more rehab starts after that. So that tells me maybe he's going to go four, then five. They're grooming him to be a starter on the way back. And I think they're going to need him to do that. Tony Gonsolin's been rough. Who knows when he's going to get hurt. We talked about Mitch White, his recent struggles. Like, I think they're going to need Dustin May in the rotation. I think they know that. And I'm very optimistic on Dustin May. The velocity looks good. Like, everything looks good in rehab. And just, again, the way that they're treating him with the length of his outings, he's coming back as a starter.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, like you said, and the fact that they want to give him one more start to reassess him, it's like, okay, they're going to see how stretched out he is and maybe give him one more. The fact they want to reassess him tells me, like you said, they want him back in the rotation. Like, it's if they didn't, they'd probably bring him back after tonight if he wasn't going back in the rotation. So that's a big, big plus. I'm with you on that one. Scott Harris, he already commented in the chat. He said, what will Maquin do for the Mets? Any value, you think? And he said, thank you in the chat already. So we hit on that one at the top of the show. Rewind to the front if you need to help on that one. Gaiman8 says, any predictions on a new closer by next Monday due to a trade? We went over a bunch of those already, so you're good there.
Who would be your number one guy? Bautista,
100%. Like, that dude, like you said, he should already be rostered in 15s, and I've been putting specs in on. I had him at points throughout the season in 12s when the streaming was bad. Like, he's that good. He might not be Devin Williams good, but he's making a case to be that good. So he's serviceable.
I'll go Bautista one, but then just to give another name out there again, because it's hard to kind of rank these guys. We just talked about a lot of names tonight, and I would go Yuri De Los Santos number two. I just, like I said, I think Bednar's gone. So De Los Santos would be my plan B behind Bautista if they're both available this weekend.
That's a great one as well. And the last question we have here is from our buddy Todd Whitestone. Ryan, which starting pitcher would be your top three out of the group of six rest of the season, 5x5 roto? You have Jeffrey Springs, who can't throw five innings these days. You have George Kirby, who's got relegated like 70 pitches his last start. You have Reed Detmers, Jacob Junis, Aaron Ashby, Nick Lodello. Top three in that group.
So this is really interesting, and I know this is like the last question. We're running pretty long, but Todd, like all of these guys that you just mentioned, I wrote up in the Speculator this week as September slowdown candidates. And so like my kind of, and very high up on this list, and on a list you don't want to be high up on. So what I did for the Speculator column this week was I just took their innings pitched in 2022, compared that to the max of any of the last three seasons, and just kind of sorted by who is above that pace. George Kirby is actually number two behind Tyler Wells, who just got hurt. Jeffrey Springs is number three on that list. So like there's a lot of risk, Todd, in that rotation in September. I don't know how effective a lot of those guys will be in September just because of the uncharted territory. And that's even assuming like that their team is going to give them full run. So that being said, I'm very skeptical on Jeffrey Springs. I'm skeptical on George Kirby, even though he just came back before the season. Jerry DePoto said that Kirby's going to be on 120, 130 inning limit for the season. Now, maybe that changes a little bit because Seattle's in the hunt, but like, I don't know how many more innings Kirby has. To answer the question, I would go Aaron Ashby number one, Lodello number two, and probably Kirby three. Just ride Kirby until the Mariners don't use him anymore. But yeah, very low on Springs. Detmers came up on the list as well. I know we kind of talked about Detmers the last couple of weeks, the slider that he's throwing more, throwing a little bit harder, like that looks good, but he is also in a little bit of uncharted territories. And then Junis is a decent option. He's, I think, probably going to be there through the season. So there is that. But Ashby and Lodello, I think, are the clear-cut one and two there.
Yeah, no, the Ashby and Lodello for sure. Ashby's starting to really turn it around. Lodello, we've seen what he's done lately, so I think that'll be fun. I would love it to be Detmers, but I agree. He's hitting that innings wall pretty quick, it looks like. One more thing from James, and it was in the MLB Trade Rumors article that Matt Moore could be on the block. Well, Matt Moore got the save tonight because Brett Martin's been so bad for Texas.
Ooh, he's been,
And the idea of hearing Matt Moore getting saves is just wow.
What a career path.
Yeah.
What a career path.
I guess it makes sense, though, if you really think about how he was back in the day. One inning might be what he needs to do. We'll see. But, all right, we'll wrap things up there, Ryan. Another great time chatting with you, my friend. Any final thoughts? The trade deadline, I hope it's a fun weekend. I hope they don't wait until the last hour on Tuesday. Like, give us some fun this weekend. But what do you got? What you got?
Yeah, give us some fun. It's interesting because the trade deadline is, like we were saying, on a Tuesday. So, like, how many trades will get made before – Fab runs on Sunday, and then we're going to have kind of another kind of Fabapalooza next week after the trade deadline. So we'll see. I'm actually going to be driving on the road the next two Sundays for vacation. So Fab for me is going to be a little tricky. You might have to have the wife drive for some stretches there, and I'm going to be fabbing from my phone on the Palouse somewhere in the middle of nowhere in the Northwest. But yeah, no, I won't be here next week. No show for me, but I'll be back and even more refreshed 2 weeks from now.
Beautiful. Ready for the stretch run. But yes. Hope you guys enjoy the show. Enjoy your vacation, Ryan. Have fun in the Palouse, as you said. And I'll be back with you guys next week. Ryan will be back in 2 weeks. We'll have tons and tons more to talk about. You can find Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ. I am at BDintric. Don't forget the FPAS First Pitch Arizona special rate finishes July 31st. You got till Sunday night to make it happen. So highly, highly recommend it. If you have questions, let us know. But for now, enjoy your weekend. We'll catch you guys next time.